My name is Katie Peterson. I'm 28 years old. Today is October 26, 2007. We're in Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm going to be interviewing my mother.
Hi, I'm Maggie Hickel. I'm 54. Today also is October 26, 2007 in Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm being interviewed by my daughter, Katie.
Yay. We're at a SWE convention, so I'm going to ask you about engineering questions. Let's see. What did you think you were going to be when you grew up?
I thought when I grew up, I think like most girls my age now, it was going to be something like a teacher. In fact, I wanted to be a kindergarten teacher. And then I noticed that after babysitting quite a few children that I couldn't stand kindergarten kids all the time. So I thought, no, that's not what I want to be. So then it was looking into something in math and science because I was good at it. I remember being in high school and going to a session by the University of Iowa. And I went to the math program first, and the professor there told everybody in the room, unless you want to be a math teacher, you can't do much with a math degree. So I thought, well, I'll go to the engineering one. I was with my mom at the time, and I was the only girl in this session. And this professor was saying, you know, talking about engineering and you needed math and you had to be good in science, et cetera, et cetera. And I can remember some of these boys raising their hands saying, well, I'm not good in math. Do you think I can still be an engineer? And I never took physics. Can I still be an engineer? And I kept thinking, I did that. I guess I could be an engineer. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, I'd give it a try. So I thought, well, I'll just go to the University of Iowa because there's a lot of opportunities, and started in engineering because if you don't start in engineering, it was harder to get out of engineering than get into engineering. So I thought, well, start in engineering, and if I didn't like it, I'll go be a teacher. And I guess the rest is history because I stayed in engineering.
What did your parents think about you being an engineer? I know your dad's an engineer, but were they okay with it?
Oh, they were very supportive. Yeah, they thought that was pretty cool to go into engineering. So I think they would have been okay if I was a teacher too, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just something that, you know, when we were growing up, it was always you're going to go to college. So it's just it wasn't do you want to go to college? It's like, no, of course you're going to college. Just, you know, what do you want to do? So yeah, they were very, very supportive.
Who influenced your engineering career? Was it a teacher or somebody you worked for, or did you just kind of do whatever you wanted to do?
To get into engineering?
Well, even after engineering, who influenced you the most? Was it a teacher that was really like, yes, made you feel like, yes, I want to be an engineer, or was it?
Yeah, I think it was probably once I got into engineering, at the University of Iowa, there were 10 females in the whole College of Engineering.
Oh, really?
And at that time, the professors there, most of the professors were really into trying to get women into engineering, so they were so supportive, you know, so it wasn't like, you know, there was any discrimination or anything. In fact, I said it was kind of reverse because they would make sure that we were given good projects and that we were put on committees and so that, you know, that they would help us out. And when we decided to join the start a SWE section, we actually held at first before we grew too big all our meetings at professors' homes, and they would host us every month, feed us dinner, and
wow,
of course for college kids, this is the greatest thing in the world, and then they would tell us about their engineering and what they did and about their field of engineering, and that's how we did all our SWE meetings for a long time until we got to about 30 people, and that's too big for any, you know, professor to host, so then we quit doing that.
So it was pretty much every woman engineer at Iowa in
SWE
then?
Oh, yes, it was. It was just because we were such a small group.
Did SWE really help you stick with engineering and things like that? Or
oh, very much. Very much. Not only as a section, but on a national level. And some of the women that were national president or some of the vice presidents, you know, and one of the things that really I liked about SWE and really impressed me about SWE is that, you know, we're Iowa, and a lot of people are thinking Iowa, right? And they actually would come to University of Iowa to our section.
They did?
Wow. They did. And, you know, I can remember, and they were down-to-earth people, and they were just wonderful, and they helped us out a lot. And I haven't run into a lot of them here today, but occasionally at SWE conventions, I run into those ladies that influenced me as a student.
Yeah.
And it is so cool because they're just still here. And you know, so that really, really impressed me that they would take the time to come to see us students and help us out.
What was the engineering field like for women when you entered it?
You know, there were very few women engineers. And when I started at 3M, there were only two of us in abrasives. And so I know that, you know, it was just the two of us that could talk to each other because every the other women in the area were admin assistants. The admin assistants did not like having us there because we could do projects with the males, and there were a couple of them that were very jealous of our closeness and friendship and our ability to talk and communicate with these males, mm-hmm. where before they were the only women and dominated in that field. I think you had to prove to yourself more. I remember going shopping with your dad, and he saw a really pretty red suit, and he said, "Why don't you wear this to work?" And I asked him if he would ever wear a red suit to work, and he said, "Well, no." And I said, "I can't either," because at that time, dress for success was almost dressing more masculine, mm-hmm. navy blue, black, brown. Which I'm so glad now, you know, you can wear anything you want. And it took a long time before I felt comfortable that I could wear what I wanted and still be, you know, considered a female engineer.
Yeah. Who's been the most important person in your career?
Oh, that's a good question. In some ways, your dad.
Really?
And I think a lot of ways your dad, because... You know, also being an engineer, he understood some of those work things that had to be done, you know, the things you have to do at night and mm-hmm. on weekends and the stresses and the frustrations and also having to get away. Mm-hmm. Being very, very supportive that if I had to go in at night for an experiment or if I had to be on the road, that, you know, he would understand that. So... You know, that was very, very good for me, and I think helped a lot in my being able to stay in engineering.
That's good. Do you like your job? Maybe not do you like your job, but do you like your choice of being an engineer?
Thank you for clarifying that. I am glad I went into engineering.
Yeah.
I like the fact that I've learned a lot and able to use the... being able to process a problem and to look at things from different angles. And so I really enjoyed that. And I never regretted being an engineer as a career. There are other things like when I said at first I wanted to be a teacher, mm-hmm. I could still do, you know, and as you know, I taught Sunday school forever and ever and worked with Girl Scouts and tutored kids and came into your kindergarten class with sciences. So that kind of fulfilled that end mm-hmm. of things I wanted to do while still being able to fill the technical end and the other side of me with engineering.
That's good. Do you have any favorite stories from work life, or at least one? maybe back in the day when you were doing real hardcore engineering stuff where...
Well, the one I kind of shared a little bit earlier, one of my first days on the job, I worked in abrasives, which is sandpaper, very dirty. And as a brand new engineer, and especially a female engineer, going into the manufacturing plant with these very hardcore, all guys, and the foreman at that time, a wonderful man named John Labor, he's passed away, you know, said he was going to give me a tour, and I had white slacks on. And I thought, you know, I can either say, no, I'm going to get dirty, or I could just say, all right, where do you want me to go? And he had me climbing over equipment and up ladders and down into everything to give me this tour. And did I get filthy? Yes. Never wore white slacks again. However, I think I gained his respect because I was there. And, you know, another thing I learned from John is they know a lot more about sandpaper making than whatever. I may know some engineering, but they knew how to make sandpaper. Mm-hmm. So I never went in and said, I always asked them. I never told them. Asked them for their opinion. And, you know, that always helped too. So that's one of my favorite stories.
It's a good one. What did you think about my decision to become an engineer?
I always thought you should have been an engineer. And it's interesting because when you first said you were thinking about becoming a physicist, I always thought you should have been an engineer. But, you know, just like my parents, and I think parents should, you have to let children decide what they want to be. And maybe, you know, being a physicist is exactly what you wanted to do. But when you said, no, you were going to change into engineering, I almost thought, well, I could have told you that. But because I always thought you always had the makings of a good engineer. You're objective. You're a good leader. You organize and organize and organize. Mm-hmm. You know that. You know, you had the skill set to do it besides being very bright. So I was very excited for you. The only concern I had, unfortunately, is the time you decided to be an engineer when you graduated, of course, mm-hmm. was a time when they weren't hiring a lot of engineers.
Right.
And I think that was very difficult for you and very frustrating. I really like the fact that you did the two internships, two very different internships, you know, where you went up to Kohler, and small town, manufacturing. I mean, that gave you a taste of small town manufacturing. Is that what you wanted to do? And then going out to California, big city, you know, being in logistics, you know, you got to see what you like to do and gave you some idea of things you want to do. You weren't afraid to do that. So mm-hmm. I like that a lot.
Did you encourage me to pursue engineering?
We encourage you to do well in math and science. That we did. Strictly engineering? I don't think so. Do you think we did? I'm interviewing you.
So. No, I don't think so. You know, it was always math and science, and I'm really glad you do that, and I hope I can do that for my kids too, you know, because I just think those are the coolest the coolest subjects.
Well, and the thing is, you are very creative, and engineers have to be creative, and one thing you are also is artistic, and a lot of engineers aren't artistic. You don't need to be artistic. You need to be creative. You happen to be both, which is, you know, kind of a plus. It's something that you can do in your spare time if you want, is that artistic area of it.
Yeah. Well, personally, I'm glad you did that, and we went to Super Science Saturdays and stuff like that.
That's true. That's true. I always got you into those Super Science Saturdays.
Just showing us how cool math and science really could be and how it could be used in the real world, and that's what makes it so neat, you know? So.
Yeah.
Are there any words of wisdom that you'd like to pass along to me?
To you?
To me.
To you. I guess just kind of, you know, it's kind of old saying, but, you know, be true to yourself and what you want to do, you know, kind of be yourself and see what you can do to make a difference. And I know you are a great mom, and you're going to continue to be a great mom. And I already see you passing on some of those things to your son as far as a love of learning. You know, that's what I think is so neat, is I see how you are just encouraging him, you know, at the age of, 21 months or 22 months.
Yep.
Just that love of curiosity and that love of learning. And I think, you know, that's going to be so important all the way around. So, you know, my words of advice is keep that up.
Mm-hmm.
Keep what you like to do and not what you think the rest of the world wants you to do.
Yeah. What are your dreams for me?
You know, my dreams for you and your sisters have always been that I wanted you to grow up to be good people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never told people I wanted you to be engineers, that I wanted you to be rich, famous, or whatever. I wanted you to be good people. And all three of you are such good people that, you know, it really makes me so happy. And so my dream for you is that you're able to live the life that you want You know, obviously, you know, you're not going to get everything in life that you can dream of.
Mm-hmm.
You always know that, you know, you may never win the lottery, but I think you need to take life with what gives it to you and live it to the best you can. And my dream for you is that you're happy, that you continue to be a good person, and that you're happy with the life you have, and that you found your life being fulfilled, and kind of a little bit what we talked before, that you make a difference mm-hmm. in something, whether it be in, you know, your life, your son's life, your soon-to-be son or daughter, whatever we're going to have here, you know, life, or whether in the community or further on.
Mm-hmm. Are you proud of me?
I'm very proud of you. Can you tell? You bet I am proud of you. And I just think it's so neat that, you know, we're still in SWE together, and now we're both recruiting for 3M, and I think we're really close,
mm-hmm.
and that we still do things together, whether it be, you know, work-related things like this, or cake decorating classes.
Yeah. Yep. I am, too. You're one of my best friends. So.
Well, thank you. Yes. Here, would you like a Kleenex?
Yeah. let's see. Sorry, dead air.
I could ask you.
Okay.
Okay. So what do you think influenced you? To be?
Oh, definitely you guys. Definitely my parents. Do you mean to stop? Yeah. Oh, definitely you guys, you and Dad.
Okay.
Just your love of science and your love of math and science, and, you know, just your excitement for what you do, and, you know, and you could hear it in your voice that you liked what you were doing. And I think, you know, and maybe you didn't love your job all the time, because, you know, it's still work, but, you know, you could tell that it was something that you were passionate about, and you and Dad were always very passionate right. about it, and I think that brought that out, and we always knew it was something cool to, you know,
to do. Well, one time when you were little, someone asked you if you wanted to be an engineer, and you said no. Because they travel too much and they work too hard.
Yeah.
So something obviously changed your mind.
Yeah.
Do you remember that at all?
I don't remember that, but I could see that. But, you know, once you go to college, and like when I went to college, you know, looking at the different majors and stuff, just nothing popped out and interested me except for engineering, you know. Mm-hmm. I wasn't one of those people that was like, oh, I want to go into psychology, or, you know, it just didn't interest me. So.
Right.
That was the only one that seemed like a natural fit. So.
Well, that's good. Well, if you have a girl,
mm-hmm.
you know, and knowing that there's still a little stigma about girls being good at math and science, excelling,
mm-hmm.
you know, how do you think you're going to influence your little girl? Just hopefully you have a little. If you don't have a little girl, your little boy, you know?
Yeah. Oh, just tell them that the world's silly, that girls can do anything they want to do, and just like you guys did, you know, just tell us that you can do anything.
Yeah.
Period, you know, anything you want to do, anything you put your mind to, you can do it. And, you know, if you just try, you know, that's it. And that's all you have to do. You
yeah,
know,
that's
so.
True. Or like what we said, we just told you you had the wrong parents. If you weren't good in science and math, obviously you had the wrong parents with two parents that are engineers, right?
Exactly. Well, and this baby's going to have, you know, two computer nerds as parents, or engineer and computer nerd as parents, so they're going to have to know that stuff. But I'm sure the love of learning gets passed along, and hopefully we'll show that, like you said, you know.
Yeah.
And we'll be taking them to Super Science Saturdays, too, so hopefully right. they get addicted, too, on how cool it is. And
well, it is
you
cool.
know, yeah.
It is cool. I can't wait until Xavier's a little bit older. I keep looking at these. Well, I bought you those math and science, how to teach math and science to children.
Mm-hmm.
I've already, you know, so I'm already planning ahead on that, just to show them that, you know, stuff like that is fun.
Yeah.
It's really fun. You know, they can play sports, because you did too.
Yep.
You know, they can be creative or do Girl Scouts or whatever they want. But don't forget that math and science also.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, and you're right, there is still that stigma out there, and I don't know why there is, but I think there still is. And
there is, yeah.
You know, and that's when you have, when they come home and say that stuff, you just have to be like, they're silly, you know. You can do anything and, you know, just turn it around and just make them believe that if they are smart and top of their class. I think a lot of people, if girls are good at math, they get really jealous, you know, and that's half of the problem. So
right.
They're jealous they can't do it. So
right. One other thing you told me, again, I don't know if you remember this. You told me once that I think we were talking about dating or something. You weren't dating at the time. And you said it was because we made you too strong, that you made you very strong women.
Yeah.
Do you still feel that way?
Kind of, because I think you need the right kind of guy. And not a lot of guys are willing to date strong women who know what they want to do, who aren't, you know, they don't need to be taken care of. Even, you know, when you're younger, there's still that whole mentality like, oh, I need to be taken care of. Even, you know, not financially or anything like that, I think there still is that whole, it's all mental, you know. And I never was one of those people that needed a guy for anything. And I don't know if that had to do with anything educational or anything like that, but it was more I knew what I wanted, and, you know, right. I wasn't going to settle for anything less than what I wanted, so I didn't have to go dating 1,000 guys to that's figure true. That out.
Well, you have a good guy that's supporting you, so that's
yep.
That's good, too, so I'm happy to see that, and your dad and I really like David because he's good to you, but he's also very supportive, too, and he understands that sometimes jobs are rough, and sometimes you have to work hard and long. And,
exactly.
You know, and you're a team.
Exactly. Well, and I think just the same way that you and Dad, you know, he knew what you were going through and that made it easier. I think with both of us working at the same place and kind of in the same type of field, I mean, you know, that we can kind of understand what each other's going through, and that does make it a lot easier that we both know the stresses of what's going on day to day. And
that's right.
You know, it can make it harder in some points because we might both be stressed at the same time. But, you know, we both know that there's a reason behind it, and it's not we're just crazy and
right.
stuff like that. So
right. Well, I know your dad traveled a lot when you were really young, and part of me says that, you know, that made us closer. But do you think that affected either your relationship with me or your decision to go into engineering?
I don't know. It probably gave me that whole they travel too much, work too hard thing. But I don't know. I think it made us, you and I, closer. I think, you know, the all that my, you know, Mandy and Stephanie, my two sisters, and you had to be closer just because we had to, you know, do everything together. We had to compromise on things like that and get things done. And
right.
And so.
I think it made you more independent because we didn't have anybody else around and we didn't have family around. You know, so if something needs to be done.
We had to do it.
We did it. So I remember when, I think it was Corky chewed through all the wires on the lamps and you and I rewired all the lamps because that's the way life is. So,
yeah,
you know, I hope you found that way and not that it was a terrible thing that Dad was gone so much.
I don't think so. I mean, I remember missing him and kind of feeling like that, but you know, I never felt like we were missing anything else out of, you know, it was just more the missing the person and of Dad being gone, but it wasn't the, you know, like anything was lacking out of our lives or anything,
because
you guys tried so hard to keep him, you know, connected to us. And I remember, you know, emailing him and, you know, calling him and everything like that so that we could keep in touch. And you know, but I think it really did bring the girls of the family closer together and more independent. And, you know, maybe that is where we got that whole, we don't need a guy to do anything because we can do everything. We can plow lots of snow and we can fix anything that breaks in the house because we had to, you know.
We had to.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. So do you think you're going to try to influence your son or daughter to go into engineering?
Yes.
Okay, that was straightforward.
Well, I mean, probably just the whole pushing the math and science, I think. You know, I want him to do whatever he wants to do to be happy, but and we'll see what he does. I mean, he's still little, but, you know, At least two. Right, I know.
And he knows ABC.
I know, he's a genius. But and all his colors.
And all his colors, yes, he does.
But, you know, just at least exposing him to a whole bunch range of things, including math and science, but, you know, also the arts and music and dance and, you know, and political science or whatever, and English and other languages, just so he gets a broad range. And I think you and Dad did a really good job with that, and, you know, letting us try every sport under the sun until we found the one that we like. I want to do that with him, with sports and with, you know, education too. Let him decide what he wants to do and let him be his own person. And, you know, and if he chooses the right decision of engineering, that's good. No. But if he doesn't, it's okay. But that's okay if he doesn't too. So,
okay.
And the next baby to be.
Yeah. So that'll be exciting too.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm happy that you became an engineer. You know, I know your sisters didn't, but that's okay.
Stephanie's kind of close to an engineer. She's in the technical field still.
Technical field, and Mandy thinks from the different side of her head.
Yeah, smart teacher, sister.
Yeah, but that was kind of cool, too, though, that you guys are different, but, you know, the same.
Yeah.
You know, because you had a lot of differences. You're all brought up the same, and then to see the differences of where your careers went. But
I know. That really shows that it's genetics and not environmental, right?
Environmental, yeah.
There's your experiment for you.
Yes, three.
We're technical there. They're nerdy.
Yeah, there's your experiment. We have three data points.
She did her experiment on her children.
Yes, I did. We brought you up all the same, and look at that.
Well, let's see where you go.
Well, like you said, though, two are in technical fields, and then Mandy in special ed.
But, you know, she still appreciates, and I think, I mean, she even wanted to be a science teacher before she did special education. Right,
yeah.
So she still appreciated the science and really liked it, too. It's just she found her niche in special education.
Right,
so.
And she's such a good teacher, you know.
Right.
When I think about all the kids that she has helped.
Well, she just has the patience of anybody.
Yeah, she really does. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
All right. So what do you want to do in the future? Where do you see your future going?
Oh, man, I don't know. That's a really hard one, I think. Especially since I'm not technically in an engineering position. I'd like to maybe get back into an engineering position at 3M. But mostly I think, you know, my future I just think about personally. I just want to be, like your dream for me, you know, I just want to be a happy, healthy, good person with a happy, healthy, good people, family, you know, and
right.
Continue to go like that and be successful that way, because that's what's really important to me right now is my family and right. Making sure that they're happy and healthy.
So I told you yesterday, the day before, what I wanted to be remembered for. What do you want to be remembered for?
Just being a good person and being a good mom.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And you remember what I said I wanted to be remembered for?
Yeah. Making a difference.
To have made a difference, yeah. To have made a difference in someone's life or in a company or something, but mostly in people's lives, because people is really where it makes up. So
yeah. Well, I definitely think you've done that. At least, I mean, if nothing else, you know, Mandy, Stephanie, and I. And, you know, but even with all your work, you know, God, I can't, you know, especially when we were growing up, I cannot believe how much, like, community service stuff you did. You know, whether it was Girl Scouts or just our swim teams or any activity like that, but you also did, like, ambulance council and, you know, Lions Club back in the day and all that stuff, and it's like you did so much stuff, and, you know, so you've already left your mark, because
look at all
the stuff you've done, and, you know.
Now you're going to make me cry.
You were the first female Lions Club member, so,
yeah.
in our city, so. There you go. That's
there
already.
There it is. There's my. That's where I'm leaving behind.
So you can be a lionette.
No, that's. I'm not going to ever be a lionette.
You're
I was
lion.
A lion. Would be a lion.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
You already know that you've made that.
Well, that's great. That's great.
Well, thank you for letting me talk to you.
Well, you're welcome. This has been fun. The time really went fast.
And I love you very much.
Well, thank you. I love you too.